Bow down your ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice, the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. I lift up my soul to you, Lord. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. Nor are there any works like your works. All the nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you and shall glorify your name. For you are great and wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify your name forevermore. I want you right now just to lift your hands and I want you to unite your heart. Don't let your heart be anywhere else. Unite your heart to glorify his name. Unite your heart. Lord, we honor you. You are the one we're looking for, Lord. You are the one, Lord. You're the one, Lord, that we need. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus.
Do you believe in tonight? The way Thank you.
Come on, let's give him a shout. Come on, let's shout to Jesus Christ. I want to give you a word. I felt like the Lord, when she was singing, there was all of a sudden there was a verse, and the Lord said, there are many people in this room that are facing mountains and asking me to take them away. There are many people that are facing mountains and asking me to take them away. And all of a sudden I saw the feeding of 5,000, and Jesus said, you feed them. And I heard the verse where she was singing, Satan, hear what's coming out of my lips. It was the power coming out of my mouth. God does nothing on the earth until he pronounces it first. That's why he prophesies. He says, I do nothing on the earth. And I felt like the Lord said, your miracle's going to come when you rise up and speak to that mountain in the faith of the word of Jesus Christ. So we just go, you know, and here's the verse the Lord gave me, and we go, you know, we weird anyway, so we'll just be weird. It says, who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Or put your name in there. Who are you to stand before a son or daughter of the Most High God? You shall become like a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace. So here's what we're going to do. Your victory is going to come when you begin to speak to it in faith. And so, if you got a mountain right now, I want you to lift your hands in front of you. I ain't talking about everyday problems, what I'm going to eat for dinner. I'm talking about, man, I got something that's been in front of me, and I can't get around it. I don't know what to do. I want you to get that in your mind. In just a minute, we're going to shout, grace, grace. But I want you to get it in your mind right now. And in your mind, I want you to begin to say, my God's bigger than you. My God has already defeated you. Who are you to keep me from my destiny in the Lord? I want you to begin to shout grace, grace to it. Begin to let it come out. Grace, grace. Come on, shout it out. Grace, grace to you. You will become like a plain. Lord, we thank you. And I want you to continue to pronounce that every day. You will become like a plane in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Even death doesn't win. Even death doesn't win. There is no mountain that can stand before you. Jesus, you are good. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap.
Hi, everybody. This is big. I don't know what it is, but there's something that starts tonight. There's a strong wind that's blowing, and it's big. It starts tonight. I brought a few books with me. He Still Speaks, I believe. That's my life message. He Still Speaks. Wrote this with my friend Tom Lane from Gateway, and It's just been translated into Polish, and so I'm hoping to go and get to pray with some Polish people before long. But just brought a few books. They're back there if you're interested. Who'd like to have one of these? Anybody here? That's all? Okay. I'm just going to keep it myself. All right. We were flying from DFW to Gulfport, and we hit some what some people called turbulence. We hit some turbulence, and it was have you ever been in an airplane and turbulence comes and it just shakes you to the right or the left and it dips and it comes up and you think, oh Jesus, are we okay? And that's what was happening, and in the middle of that, the Lord just spoke to me a word for you guys and just confirmed some things He'd already been putting on my heart, that there was some turbulence in the winds that were around us, but winds of change are blowing. Winds of change are blowing. Now, whenever you talk about change, you got a third of the people that hate it no matter what it is. A third of the people that are just glad you finally see that it ought to happen. And there's a third of the people that just need a little more information. But let me tell you, there's a strong wind of change that's blowing. And this kind of wind blows in turbulent times. There's turbulent times when the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. Turbulent times. 120 people scared to death sitting in an upper room wondering if that next knock on the door was going to be the Roman soldiers carrying them away. And then suddenly, a mighty wind of the Spirit blew. I was sitting on a university campus at Arkansas Tech trying to figure out if Jesus was real. And this mighty wind blew across our campus. And we saw hundreds of my friends saved. The Lord showed me who I was going to marry, and I've been married to her 45 years. And we were being carried along by this wind of the Spirit. It was a wind of change. It changed everything in my life. I was a business major on my way to law school. That was my plan. My parents were happy about it. And then it all changed and said, you're going to live by faith and you're going to be a minister and you're going to prophesy the nations and you're going to lead a church. And everything in my life changed. My parents weren't too happy. But my mom had been in a move of God's Spirit in her life, and she was happy. She knew about it. Let me tell you, there's a wind of change that's blowing. Let me read a scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We were made for change. And we were made to be changed. Not just once at salvation, but there's an ongoing transforming power of change that makes us more and more like Jesus as we go along. I've just gone through some changes in my life, and I'll tell you about it maybe a little bit later. But I got real nostalgic as I was going through it. Found myself getting up and listening to lots of Bob Dylan music. Got my albums, my LPs, and I started playing all those albums by Bob Dylan, and I just thought, you know, I'm just going to kick back up here and deal with this change and listen to what Bob has to say to me. 55 years ago, in 1964, Bob Dylan wrote a song, "The Times They Are A-Changing." The critics called it a prophetic anthem for the civil rights movement. It gave voice to what was called a generation gap that was dividing families. It inspired a British band, one of my personal favorites, that would change music and pop culture and fashion, the Beatles. The world called Bob Dylan a prophetic voice for the times. During that turbulent time that he was speaking into, Billy Graham said this, "The best things often come in the worst of times." The best things often come in the worst of times. During the late 60s and the early 70s, war protests, race riots, breakdown of morals shook the world to its core. And in the middle of that cultural shift, Jesus showed up. Rita knows about it, what was happening out in California and various places. The Jesus People movement happened, rolled across our campus there at Arkansas Tech University. changed everything. It also changed Bob Dylan in 1979 in Tucson, Arizona hotel room. Dylan became a born-again Christian. Look what he said, what he wrote about that. I always have loved his honesty. I felt the presence in the room that couldn't be nobody but Jesus. Jesus put His hand on me. It was a physical thing. I felt it all over my body. I felt my whole body tremble. The glory of the Lord knocked me down and picked me back up again. Now this guy that was the prophetic voice for those turbulent times, the most well-respected songwriter that was impacting the world, those same critics, when he wrote his next song, Gonna Change My Way of Thinking, for his album Slow Train Coming, those critics that were calling him this, maybe the Messiah, they said it was God-awful. This music was God-awful. But in a concert later that year, Bob said, I told you the times they are a-changing, and they did. I told you the answers were blowing in the wind, and it was. And I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back, and He is. I've come to tell you tonight that we are in a similar place of cultural and generational change again. Somebody said the only person that likes change is a wet baby. When my kids were little and my wife and I had this deal that whoever smelled it first had to change it. Did I develop this condition where I temporarily lost my smell? I don't know what happened. But if you don't change some things, it's going to get worse. It could turn into a rash if you don't watch it. Change can feel like a whole lot of poop to deal with sometimes. I'm smelling a huge cultural, spiritual, economic, governmental, education, and generational shift that is happening right across the world. Everywhere I go, I'm seeing it day in and day out. We're going to have to change our way of thinking and discern our place and what that thing is God wants us to do at this point in time in our lives. Now, I can get nostalgic with Bob Dylan and the Jesus movement with the best of them, but you know what? I'm not living for then. I live then. I really, really, really live then. But I'm not done. I'm not done. I want more of Jesus. And I'm smelling a very similar atmosphere that was going on back in those days that I experienced. I learned some principles these last couple of years. I've gone through some big changes myself. Last September, Dan and Todd were up there with us. Last September, we transferred our church from my leadership as senior pastor to another young man named Chris. After I'd led that church for 45 years, and I transferred my mantle to him, and it was a powerful, powerful meeting. I remember when I put my coat around his shoulders, I just felt this huge weight just lift off me that I didn't even know was there. At that same time, he felt like this big steel beam went down through his body and just stuck in the ground. And we both kind of trembled at the same moment. We saw something beautiful. We had not seen a good generational transfer wherever we had looked. We were determined to find a good way of doing that in our own lives. And I passed that mantle to him. And the Holy Spirit began to show me some things, especially from two passages of Scripture, from Malachi 3 and 4 and from Deuteronomy 34 and Joshua 1. He showed me from Malachi that God was about to turn the hearts of parents to children and the hearts of children to the parents. Then I looked at the account of facing generational transfer between Joshua and Moses. Moses passing his mantle to his son in the faith, Joshua. God revealed some things to me, and I just want to share those with you that I think will help you at this point in time, in these turbulent times when the winds of change are blowing, and we're waiting on that suddenly to pour out from heaven and touch us again. I'm walking in that door tonight, and the Lord said, would you like for it to start tonight? I said, oh, Jesus. The guy that I passed the church over to texted me tonight and he said, I don't know what it is, but something big is going to start tonight in Picayune, Mississippi. And I said, amen. Amen. You know, they expected it to happen in Jerusalem, but it happened in Bethlehem, this little insignificant, small place. It's going to happen in Dallas, or maybe it's going to happen in L.A., or it's going to happen in Atlanta. Wouldn't it just be like Jesus to start it into a place whose very name means insignificant and small? God loves to confound the wise. He loves to. The first thing I realized that helped me, let me tell you, it was difficult to make this change. I mean, I thought I agreed with it. I heard from the Lord. My wife and I were in agreement about turning the church over. The elders were good with it. We did a good job of getting the church prepared for it. But then when it happened, I didn't see the tsunami of emotions that were going to roll over me. I mean, and I had all these emotions. I had to go to a counselor friend and say, "What's happening here?" And he said, "Well, two things are happening." He said, "You're grieving for something that was precious that's not yours now." He said, "But pretty soon you're going to be rejoicing for that new thing that God's doing in you." And I'm starting to smell that new thing, and I like what I smell. But here's some things I learned. Number one, realize that God Himself never changes. Malachi 3:6 says, "I am the Lord, I change not." God is the only one in your life that you know, there's the only one that you can count on not to change. And He doesn't change. He's like the eye of the hurricane that we live in. The kingdom of God is not static. It's forcefully advancing. And violent, forceful men and women lay hold of it. Usually in turbulent times. In my struggle, I realized again that when one of us needs to change, it's probably not going to be God. But then He even gives grace to change. I believe that believers are hardwired for change. It's in our DNA to move into His new, that new thing the Lord has. One thing I've been loving about what's been happening to me is I'm getting to pioneer again. I'm getting to go somewhere and not worry about the Sunday message back home. If I can say I need to stay a few days longer, I can. But I need to go home and say I need to seek the Lord for a few days and not worry about this or that, I can. And so the Lord is just filling me with some sweet times. The other night I was going to do a series of concerts in the UK, and the Lord just said, "I want you to do a concert tonight." And I said, "Well, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go?" "I'll go, street, whatever." He said, "No, just get on your stairs and take out your guitar." And He said, "It's going to be an all-request concert." I was all by myself, and for 2 hours, He said, "You remember this song back in, would you sing that one for me?" I sang that, and then He said, "You remember what I was showing you then?" Then He said, "What about this? Do this song." I love that song, and I sang that song. He said, "You remember what I was doing in your life?" And then He said, "I've got some more songs to give you, and they're going to be better than anything that you've written." And I sat there on my stairs, and I wept for a solid hour because I was feeling the presence of God like I hadn't felt in a long, long time. God doesn't change. Here's some other things I've learned. Children will do well to honor their parents, even before they receive the blessing. It's good to honor those that have gone before. Learn from it, but you don't have to repeat their story exactly. But let their story become part of the story that God's doing in you, so you can become part of His story and make history. That's what it's about. This emerging generation should learn from Joshua's example of honoring Moses. He didn't push him out of the way, but he served him. He waited patiently until the father passed the mantle. The guy I turned the church over to 2 years before, the Lord told him, "Wayne's going to turn the church over to you." He didn't tell me. He didn't tell anyone else. He waited patiently. And the day I came up to him and said, "Chris, I think you're the guy to take my place. What do you think?" He starts crying and he said, "The Lord showed me 2 years ago that you would do this." I'm telling you, it's a lot different turning over something to a son than it is over to some professional pastor wanting to get you out of the way and move in. Yeah. Let me tell you, generational transfer works best when it's in family. Fathers and mothers and sons and daughters. I believe that God put it deep inside His sons and daughters' hearts to desire their parents' blessing. So the third thing I learned is that parents must rein in your fears about legacy. A lot of parents and grandparents are trying to control their kids by giving or withholding their blessing and their legacy. Resolve to bless the sons and daughters who are coming forth. I think the way for us to avoid another generational gap repeat is for the parents to go ahead and bless the sons and daughters and not wait on them to honor, and for the sons and daughters to go ahead and honor and not wait on their parents to bless them. Go ahead and do the right thing. I'm out at Bethel Church a few months ago, and I'm saying, Lord, just tell me one more time this is what I'm supposed to do. And I haven't felt the presence of God like that in a while. I mean, I walked in, and it wasn't that the band was so great or that the facilities were so great. It's just the presence of God was so powerful that I could only sit down. I couldn't get up. I just sat down. And then I couldn't sit down. I had to lay down, and I couldn't get up because the presence of God was just pressing me, pressing me, pressing me. And in the middle of that, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do about Chris? And he said, I want you to do everything you can to make him successful. Across the country, some hours before that, Chris is praying for me. He says, God, what do you want me to do for Wayne? He said, I want you to do everything you can to make him successful. So we banned that word succession. We're just calling it success. Going forward, we're going to move from success to success to success as we follow the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Next thing I learned is that the revelation from the Holy Spirit is available if we ask, seek, and knock on it. That new door God has for us will open. Show you how bad it got. I was reading Lamentations. I got to Lamentations 3 one morning, and verse 23 jumped out at me and says, God's mercies are new every morning. And the Lord said, you're asking the wrong question when you keep asking what's next. That's not the right question. Don't ask what's next. I said, well, Lord, what's the right question? What's new? What is the new thing that I'm doing? What is the new thing that I'm doing in the earth? Because my mercies are new every morning. I turn you into a new creature when you give your life to the Lord. Your question is not, Lord, not what's next for me, but what is new? What's that new thing that you have for me? What's that new thing that you have for me? New wine needs new wine skins. What's that new thing you have for me? And the other thing I learned is to recognize that with each change the Holy Spirit brings, it gives a new opportunity for fresh revelation, fresh relevance, purpose, a fresh realigning of what He wants you to do, to follow His original command, go into all the world and make disciples. Our message is not come to church. Our message is go and make disciples. It's time to turn this baby out. It's time for fathers and mothers and sons and daughters to get that original commission and turn it out. Take worship to the streets. Take encouragement to the streets. Take prophecy to the streets. Take the gifts of the Spirit to the person that's there in the Wendy's line. Go talk to some of those wall Martians and tell them about Jesus. It's time to do it. Well, as I was kind of having this time with Bob Dylan, my own little concert of his music, I thought about that bracelet. Remember that bracelet a few years ago, that WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? And I asked myself, what would Bob do? What would Bob do at a point in time like this? And I went back and started reading about his conversion and what Bob has done since then. What did Bob do? He did four things that I'll leave you with that I really think you ought to consider doing every day. Number one, he experienced God. He was familiar with God's presence. He embraced it as real. It was tangible. It was physical, he said. And he didn't apologize about it. He was able to enter God's new for his life. And the second thing he did, he discovered prayer and worship. He said in a speech, the highest form of song is prayer. He spoke about praying and singing through the Psalms of David. He said, I feel something other when I do that. Something other when I do that. He discovered a whole new realm he didn't know existed. In worship, let me ask you this. When is the last time you did something for the first time? Lord, challenge me with that question one day in worship. I'm doing my... You know, we paid a price to do this back in the day. You get kicked out of churches for doing this. And if you did that charismatic dance they do, you know that was subversive. That would destroy nations if you did that. We fought to get all those things back, and I got comfortable in all those things. And I can lift my hands anytime, anywhere, and I can worship God. The Lord challenged me. He says, when's the last time you did something for the first time in worship? And I said, well, Lord, I can't remember. He said, let's change that. He's been having me bring these different little instruments to worship and play those. He's been having me do weird things like calisthenics and push-ups and stuff like that. It's, you know, it's just weird stuff's going on. And my wife thinks I'm a little crazy, but I'm absolutely loving it. I'm loving it. Third thing Bob did is he made reading the Scriptures a daily priority. First thing he did is he attended a Bible study with Hal Lindsey. Then he had to get some deliverance from that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I just turned you against me. And he set aside a sabbatical for 6 months. He talked with pastors and rabbis, learned from the Scripture, wanted to be informed. He took a discipleship course at Calvary Chapel. But he said this, I let the Scriptures get inside me and begin to flow out through whatever I could do. Then the most important thing he did, you know, when change comes, we're all tempted to run for cover. But what Bob did is what we need to do. And I want you to hear this if you've heard nothing else. Bob stayed in the game. He stayed in. I got some of my best friends are just wanting to drive their RVs off into the sunset. I'm wanting to go and puncture their tires and pull the cords off their motors. Put that RV somewhere else. We ain't done, boys. We got stuff to do. Bob stayed in the game, and God blessed him. He kept investing in the gifts that God gave him. And if he had a mission statement, it would be to write and perform songs that mattered. When he got saved during that period of time, he wrote 38 new Christian songs in a short period of time for the album Slow Train Coming, Saved, and Shot of Love, and they were all canned by the critics. Last year, on April 2nd, 2017, just a few months before his 76th birthday, Bob won the Nobel Prize in Literature. He was the first songwriter to ever do so. He's still writing and inspiring another generation of songwriters and musicians. Be like Bob. I've come here tonight to tell you to be like Bob. We are in this tsunami of a wind of change that's blowing. There's turbulence in every level of society. You just name it, it's out there. In the middle of that is an eye of the storm, and it's all around the God who never changes. And it's time for us to step up and let Him do what He wants to do in our lives. Here's a scripture for you in times when winds of change are blowing. Philippians 3. This one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I strain toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And here's some good advice for you. Someone said there are three C's in life. Choice, chance, and change. Now remember this, you must make a choice to take the chance if you want anything to change. I'm wondering how many of you in here tonight are experiencing change, even uncomfortable change. Transitions, life changes are not comfortable, not easy. Maybe you're getting hit by the emotions of that change. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you've lost a relationship. And you came here even tonight wondering, Lord, how do I negotiate this? What do I do? Who am I now? What am I going to do? I really would like to pray for you before we begin to prophesy. If you're here tonight and you're going through the kind of change I'm talking about where there's turbulence, it's emotional. You've had times of thinking I just want to give up or other times of thinking I want to run away. Change is tough, and I understand that. I've come tonight to tell you that big change is coming. It's already here. I believe it's something starting even tonight. And I want you to weather it. I want you to keep at it. If you're here tonight and you're going through a change that's difficult for you, I would like for you to do something brave and just stand up wherever you are. And I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to ask God to help you weather this wind of change. Wow. Wasn't expecting that many. Wouldn't it be cool if Jesus just poured out His Spirit again? Changed everything. You didn't worry about how you're going to take care of yourself because you knew He was going to take care of you. You didn't have to play that game, that corporate game anymore. The only one you had to please was Him. Well, you that are standing, put your hand on your heart. And if there are friends around you that would like to put their hand on your shoulder, you don't mind. We're going to pray for you. And I'm telling you, I've gone through 2 years of hell. Sometimes it felt like I wasn't going to make that next step. But I was feeling like I was stuck. I was in maintenance mode. I was doing church because I knew how to do church. That's not who I was born to be. I was born to be a pioneer. I was born for that new that God has. If that means I have to let some familiar things go to embrace that new, then I'm going to do it. I know a little bit about what you may be going through. I want to pray for you right now. Just wait a minute on the Holy Spirit and see what He might want to say and do. Holy Spirit, I ask You to come right now. I ask You to give every mercy, every strength, every endurance, every hope, every ounce of faith that's needed to make the changes that You're calling for. Lord, You're stirring up everything all over the world because You're about to move. And You need fathers and mothers and sons and daughters to run together, not to run against each other. It's the church that has the answer for the world. Church needs to change. The church needs to update. The church needs the power of the Holy Spirit, not a worship experience that's man-made. Come, Holy Spirit. I ask You right now in Jesus' name to come and comfort that one that needs comfort. Strengthen that one that feels weak. Give ideas to that one that doesn't know what to do. Speak clearly. This is the way. Walk in it. This is the way. Walk in it. I ask You, Lord, for a grace, a wind of grace to just blow across the room right now. Let it build up, build up, build up, build up, build up. Strengthen, strengthen, strengthen. Bring courage on top of courage. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Now I want you to pray out loud a prayer after me. All those of you that stand, pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I receive that wind of change. Whatever You want, I'll do it. Whatever You ask, I'll do it. Whatever way You want me to change, I will change. Jesus, I want You. Yesterday's manna won't feed me. I need my relationship with You. Be current, real, now. I want You, Jesus. Amen. Have a seat, folks. Let me just ask, where's that person? You got a real sharp pain in your side right now. There's a sharp pain in someone's side. Down in the hip, there's a strong... Is that you? Who else is it? There's somebody right back there. You got a sharp pain in your side, maybe down into your hip, sort of. Somebody else over here, right there. Sharp pain in your side, kind of ooching down into your hip. My wife's having pains in her hip, and we're having to look at a possible operation. I was praying for her tonight, and the Lord said, "You let me take care of her." And you call out that same thing in others, and I'll heal them. You too, your hip. If you're near these and you've got some faith, not just some compassion, but if you've got some faith, I want you to lay your hands on these that are standing up, and we're going to speak healing. And then I want you to testify about what God does. When He heals you, I want you to find ways to tell your story.
That's right.
I see five or six. Am I missing anybody else? All right. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm crying out for my wife tonight. You said, I'll take care of your wife. You call out that same pain in others and you pray tonight and I will bring healing and I'll show you what I will do and I'll build your faith. I heard that in my spirit. I know what your voice sounds like. So in Jesus' name, I pray for that sharp pain in the side, whatever it's coming from, I don't have to know. That thing that's happening in the hip, whatever is causing it, I'm not someone that has to know that. I just know that you're the one that created us and you're the one that can heal us. So I come right now in the name of Jesus and I just say, be healed in Jesus' name. 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 Be healed in Jesus' name.